Welcome to Saleh Family Speaks.
Hey, I'm Sana.
And I'm Mohammed William.
And we are
the Saleh family.
We are social media influencers, content creators, and we own multiple online businesses. We seem to have a lot to say when it comes to just about anything. We are a mixed culture Muslim couple from Canada, and we're always asked about how our lives intertwine with the world around us.
This podcast is all about learning to live, love, and laugh in a way that may have you rolling on the floor or throwing your phone at the wall. No topic is off the table. Religion, culture, love life, and everything in between. So get ready and grab a big old cup of chai. Welcome back, everybody, to Saleh Family Speaks. This is episode 12. And if you guys missed the last episode, it was about differences of opinion. And I think that a lot of people need to go back and listen to that because we just seem to hate on each other like nobody's business. So in this particular episode, we are going to be talking about our business, Lala Hijabs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, we were on TikTok Live the other day. And if you're listening and you are the person that suggested this podcast episode, we are dedicating it to you because you asked us to kind of share a story about our business, how we became entrepreneurs, and kind of like our story, because everybody always wonders, like, what does the Saleh family do for a living?
Mm-hmm. And how in a short span of 4 months, we've been able to replace both of our careers, basically, obviously by the blessings from God and a lot of hard work along the way. Mm-hmm. So let's take it back to March 2020.
Yeah.
Right when COVID
good started.
Old COVID happened.
Yeah.
So I was working as an aircraft maintenance engineer, as a contractor. And of course, COVID happened. And obviously, the airline industry was completely devastated.
Mm-hmm. Still is devastated.
Still is. And since the end of March, I think I did 2 weeks, 2 week job in Montreal. And that was literally has been it in terms of me bringing in income from the outside. So Sun has been doing her thing with Synergence, with her skincare, and thank God for that because it helped us to get through.
Yeah, it'll be my 4-year anniversary for that business.
Well, happy next anniversary.
Month. Yeah, I know. I'm pretty excited about that.
So it all comes back to April. And in April, the tie-dye genre, I guess you could say, was in full swing, coming back.
Yeah.
So Sana had a bright idea.
Yeah, actually, let me just take this back a little bit more because you said March, but in February we joined TikTok. Mm-hmm. So literally a month before this COVID stuff happened, we started posting videos on TikTok. So I feel like this entire scenario that we're even talking about wouldn't even be possible. Like, we wouldn't even be sitting here speaking to you right now had it not been for TikTok, because I feel like that was a catalyst to everything.
For sure.
So yeah, quarantine happened, everybody was at home, the lockdown happened so quickly all around the world, in the States, in Canada, everywhere, and I was scrolling TikTok and everybody was tie-dying.
Nothing better to do.
Everybody was just like tie-dying their clothes because there was nothing to do. So I turned to Will and I was like, oh my God, I have like one hijab in my closet that's tie-dye worthy, because it was like this cream kind of off-white color. And it was like actually one of my favorite materials. It was a jersey hijab. And we literally went to Walmart and I grabbed some dye and I came home and I just splattered a bunch of dye on it. And then we were doing our thing. We were just filming TikTok videos and people started asking, saying, where'd you get that hijab from? And then, of course, I didn't really have a response. I was like, well, I made it. But everyone's like, well, I want to buy it. Yeah. And then from there, me and William were this idea just kind of sparked.
It sparked in your brain.
Yep.
So she came to me and said, look, I think we can do this. So she came up with an idea that, you know, we should try this tie-dye hijab thing because
no one was doing it.
Exactly. Nobody is doing it. And what the heck, we might as well try something, you know, being as that I wasn't working.
Yeah.
So we decided to do it. So what did we do, man?
Oh my God. We tried to source fabric from like all these
local
random
vendors,
local vendors. Cause we're like, we're Canadian business. We have to do everything local. Mm-hmm. And I remember we went to like store to store. And like the fabric was horrific. Mm-hmm. Like it was not cool.
And we found one that was decent.
But it was too short.
And then it started changing shapes and stuff after we washed them. And
so many failures. If you're listening to this and you're like, dude, I want to start a business, but I have no idea where to start and I can't be perfect right off the get-go. We were not perfect. Mm-hmm. It took us months of trial and error and so much money wasted, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, we wasted a lot of money, a lot of dye.
I mean, to be honest, it's not wasted because it's like research and development, essentially.
Yeah, I guess.
We did a lot of research and a lot of development to get to where we are today.
Yeah.
We basically sourced out all these different fabrics and tried to get something going. And then we started kind of coming up with the idea of what we wanted to see. We wanted to go the bright route and use color theory to try to help people kind of boost their mood given the current circumstances.
Because hijabs, honestly, if you look around and you look at every hijab company ever, you'll find just basically the same old stuff. It's always the same old stuff. And for me, like, being someone that wore, you know, hijab when I became an adult, like, if you know me, you'll know I have a very colorful personality. I like to wear color, whether it's in my makeup, whether it's in my clothing, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter where. And so for me, when I saw this tie-dye trend happening, I didn't just tie-dye like deep colors. I tie-dyed straight up bright pink and bright purple. And I knew that that's something that is lacking in the market. And I know that if I love those bright, cheery colors, I know that there's going to be other women out there that also would like the same thing. So that's kind of where that started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it started on a tarp on our garage floor.
Literally.
Is where that started.
I remember, yeah.
So we have spent a lot of time and a lot of research and a lot of development to the point now where we have a fairly well-oiled kind of machine.
Yeah. We do everything by hand.
It's a figure of speech.
Yeah.
Well-oiled machine. Okay. So we're able to actually do everything in one small room.
So let's start off. Let's tell them where we started. So we started in our garage on a tarp, literally. You know, one hijab here, the next hijab here, next hijab
there. It was like 10 max.
It was like, 10 hijabs. And then we got this brilliant idea for using like trays.
Racks.
Yeah. So then we bought a giant rack and we started putting it on there. We kind of moved to this little nook that we had in our house that we kind of was just like the spare kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a playroom area. And then we quickly outgrew that space.
Very quickly.
Yeah. And then essentially evacuated one room completely, gutted the whole room, and turned that into our office. So that's literally where
Manufacturing.
Yeah. We manufacture, laboratory. We dry the hijabs in there. We pack all the orders in there. I store all my beauty products in there. It's the go-to room. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can't be afraid. One thing that we've learned as entrepreneurs is, and again, it's kind of the age-old saying that you can't be scared to fail.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we've failed.
Which I totally did, though.
So many times along the way.
Yeah, and it made me so nervous because I was like, oh, we're never going to get this right. Like, we have to really perfect the fabric. Like, I want it to be a certain way. I want the quality to be incredible. Like, I want the website to look perfect. And there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that you guys don't realize. Like, if you go to our website, lalahijabs.com, it looks like an awesome website, right? There's beautiful models. There's beautiful, just everything. It looks awesome. Totally not bragging, but like straight up. And you would think looking at it that there's this massive team behind it that put everything together. And realistically, it's like just us two. Yeah.
But realistically, all of that is just Sana.
Aww.
People need to know that the reason I think that things have worked so good and so seamless is that we are such polar opposites.
Yeah, we are.
She's techie all the way and I am just a hands-on kind of like do the work and get it done kind of person. So that's why we basically
complement each other well.
Yeah, we set forth the responsibilities and hers is for sure the one, you know, when it comes to social media, when it comes to building the website and getting the message out there, that's all her. And then my responsibility is to basically
manufacture
the hijabs from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Which you do an amazing job. People are mind blown when I tell them that every single design was created by you.
That's not exactly true.
It's so true. I might come up with the concept of the colors and the color schemes, but the design itself is all you, Will.
pretty much.
So yeah, like it's awesome. And our latest release is called the Earth Collection, and actually it's really special and near and dear to our hearts. But $1 from each hijab sold in our Earth Collection is going towards Islamic Relief Canada. If you don't know who they are, they're one of the oldest charities, nonprofits in Canada, and we love them. Mm-hmm. We've worked alongside them and donated to them. We are
brand ambassadors, in
fact, for
Islamic Relief Canada.
Well, technically, it's not even called a brand ambassador because we're not paid by them. It's like a voluntary thing. It's called change makers.
Oh, whatever. I used the term that made more sense in my head.
We're basically volunteers for them just to spread the word. But they have an incredible initiative. It's a water well project. Mm-hmm. And me and Will, I remember a few months ago, we're like, man, like we have such a big platform. Like we need to figure out a way to use it to spread awareness. And so the whole Earth Collection, $1 from each hijab sold will go towards the water well projects and their Water for Life project, which is like sanitation, hygiene, water wells that they build from literally the ground up.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's one of the things that we wanted to do with this Earth Collection. And that's why we named all of the hijabs in the Earth Collection after African countries.
Yeah.
It's not to say that obviously people are going to be like, well, what about this country and that country, right?
Yeah, majority of their wells are made in Africa.
Yeah, and I mean,
and Asia.
Let's face it, guys, when the world thinks about poverty, when the world thinks about lack of clean drinking water, we think of Africa as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm. So, which is why primarily all of their projects for water are in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and our hope and ambition is to build a water well. In and of itself.
A full well. Mm-hmm. And when we say a full well, we mean like they go to a village where people are having to walk like an hour just to get a jug of water. And they go to this well and they source exactly where this well needs to be so that for generations to come, they can build this well. And it takes time. Like it takes a long time to fully build the well. But that's our goal, is to do one full well to start with. And then we'll see where it goes.
And you know what? We're actually... We've had such a successful launch of the Earth Collection that we're like fastly approaching, I think it's about 1500 Canadian to purchase one well.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're quickly making track for that.
Yeah.
So for anybody that's listening, you can check that out at IslamicRelief.ca.
.org.
I'm looking right at it.
IslamicReliefCanada.org.
There you go. I'm way off.
Yeah. And so the $1,500 is to build a hand pump for an entire village. Mm-hmm. If you want to build like a deep well, a super deep well, it's $3,000. And if you want to do a solar powered water well, then it's $5,000. Yeah. So it'll all depend on what we do.
For sure. But it should be noted that you can donate no matter how much, how little it may be.
Even if it's $10.
To help the cause. Mm-hmm. But yeah, our goal is to that, so that, you know, at the end of the day, when all of our customers can actually, that purchase from this collection, they can know that money from their purchase actually went to give people in Africa clean drinking water. That's pretty incredible.
It's pretty big. And you know, water is one of those things that we take for granted all the time. You know, we think of these other things that are happening in our life right now, whether it's, you know, the pandemic, or whether it's, you know, electricity, or whether it's, you know, clean clothes. But water is such an essential thing that we just forget. We forget, you know, that we turn on the tap to brush our teeth. Like that's something that people just don't have.
I'll give you an example that'll make you feel really bad.
Aw, what?
How many times a day do you flush clean water down the toilet?
I know.
Honestly.
I know. And we were actually on a phone call with Islamic Relief Canada a few months ago, and they were talking, we were talking with their team on the ground in Yemen, which has one of the biggest humanitarian crisis in the entire world, and like no one is talking about it. So do your research and look into it. But they were saying that, you know, like the back of the toilet, like the big tank thing, they said people would walk 1 hour to fill up a jug that was that big, the tank.
Every flush.
For one day, they had to survive off of one tank.
It's incredible.
The one tank they had to survive. Their whole family, mind you, that there was their families are like huge there, like 6-7 people in one family. And they have to drink, they have to wash dishes, they have to wash their food with it, they have to clean their faces, brush their teeth, like everything with one tank. So it's like such a sad thing to think about.
It is, for sure. So any little bit that anybody can do to help,
yeah,
it's absolutely your money is not going to be wasted.
Yeah, for sure. So let's, now that I digressed,
yeah.
Let's go back a little bit because we were talking about the design. So the design that you came up with is Sierra Leone. That's what we named it. And it's like this beautiful black jersey hijab with this like gold, gorgeous detail. People have gone wild for it, like so wild that we thought it would last like at least a few days, and it sold out within 30 minutes of launching it. And since then, hundreds of people have pre-ordered it. And it's kind of crazy because it's like, looking back a few months ago, literally 4 months ago, we're like, I don't even know if people are going to want these hijabs. Do you remember thinking
and,
that?
Yeah, and we literally
in four months, we've
created a business that is like light years beyond where we thought it would be in 4 months.
I honestly remember looking at the website and thinking in my mind, like, even if 100 people visited the whole website, like in a whole month, I would be like mind blown.
And in the last 30 days, we've had 45,000 visitors to our website.
Oh my God. Which is insane. It makes me just like want to cry. Cause it's like, you know, your whole life you think, like, my background, if you guys know already, like, I used to be a social worker, but like my whole life growing up, I always imagined doing something with my family that would make me super happy. And Will, being an aircraft maintenance engineer, he was gone 12-hour days, and those 12 hours are working time. Mm-hmm. So he would leave at like 5 in the morning. Mind you, he would wake up at 4 in the morning. And he would drive an hour, and then he would work 12 hours, and then he would drive an hour home, and he would literally just be on time for, you know, the girls to have dinner, and then we would put the girls down. Mm-hmm. And it was like that, like 6-7 days a week sometimes, mm-hmm. which was so hard. And Will is like, you know, if you guys listen to our parent podcast, you know, becoming parents, you'll know how involved we are with our kids.
Yeah, for sure.
It was really hard, like, yeah, having you gone.
But the interesting thing is that 2 weeks we spent in Montreal basically like bankrolled our entire business.
Yeah.
And made this whole thing possible. But it was like the last day that I worked there, it was an 18-hour day. And
oh my God,
that literally
the kids just,
yeah, it was like 10 o'clock by the time I got home.
Yeah.
Or back to the hotel.
And you worked for like 3 weeks straight with no day off.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Was it two weeks?
Yeah,
no, it wasn't. I'm pretty sure it was longer than that. Maybe. Regardless, it felt like forever. And it was exhausting.
Yeah.
And so for us to be able to sit here right now and talk to you guys, as you being here right now, it's a blessing because we wanted this.
That last day that I worked, being 18 hours, that was like the kicker for me. I was like, there's no way that we're not going to make this work.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, again,
we have
like she said,
this
like,
work.
We don't go anywhere without our kids. We travel with our kids. Our kids are...
Yeah, they're never...
Whether they like it or not, they're our best friends.
Yeah.
One day they'll appreciate us.
Exactly. So being able to be home together and, you know, homeschool our kids, which we still need to do a podcast on, and, you know, raise them and be here for them for every time that they fall, we can pick them up and, you know, wipe their tears or, you know, cook a meal for them or play with them, whatever it is. It's such a blessing. So, you know, just know that this whole Lala Hijabs thing, it truly has changed our life.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anything, I think it's a testimony that anybody can do it. Like, believe me, if someone, two people like us who have
zero business knowledge.
I mean, I've owned my own business in the past, and it was too much. I was young, I was like 19, and it was too much, too fast, and I just couldn't do it. So I just sold my company and went surfing, basically. but yeah, anybody can do it. You just have to have an idea, and you have to have the determination to make it work.
Yeah.
And with that determination and that motivation, I think anything is possible.
Yeah, you have to be inspired. And the thing is, so for me, I became a mom and I decided at that point forward, I was not going back to social work. And so I had to find something, I had to make something work. And for me, I started a business at home and I taught myself everything. And I come from a place of a lot of insecurity. To show up on camera was a big deal for me, you know, without shaking and, you know, scrambling my words and stuff like that. And so here we are like 4 years later and now we own our own business and we've built it from the ground up. And if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I totally wish I could do something like that. It doesn't matter what it is. You just need to know that you have to have like the grit and like the determination to do it.
And if there's people listening and you think that you can't do something or it's not achievable, just remember, Donald Trump has been president of the United States for the last 4 years. Believe me, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And remember, like, there, I don't exactly know what the quote is, but it's like this famous quote that's like, you know, there's always going to be something that someone imagines that they wish they could do, and they don't end up doing it, and someone else does it later on down the road. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, dang, I wish I would have like done that. You know, when you think in your mind, you're like, oh, I wish I could invent this like something, something. And then like 2-3 years later, it's on the market and you're like, man, I totally wish I would have done that, or I would have executed it.
I'm that guy. Believe me. Believe me. I was so close to starting a business about delivering groceries. And now look at us now.
Oh, yeah, like Instacart and exactly. Uber Eats. And
that was my idea. They stole it from me.
They this, must have just read your brain.
This is back in like 2009, guys. These things didn't exist. But so often you come, yeah. Like she said, I've had a million different ideas of things that, yeah. I'm like, hey, that could probably work. And then lo and behold, like a year later or something, you see it and you're like, yeah. Wow, why yeah. didn't I do that?
Yeah, for yeah. sure, for sure. And you know, for us, I feel like our business is, it's such a personal thing, you know, like when you go to check out on our website, there's this little box and it says like, leave us a note, and I wish I could show you all the notes we get every time people order, and they say the most sweetest things, like, you know, I found you on TikTok, I love you guys, like, you've educated me, I'm not even Muslim and I love supporting you, and it's just like blows our mind. Like, it really truly feels like a community. Mm-hmm. We've built such an awesome community on TikTok and all of our other social media platforms, but the whole catalyst was definitely TikTok.
Mm-hmm. And COVID.
And COVID.
Being in quarantine. The two things that kicked it off for us were TikTok and COVID.
Yeah, had it not been for those, I don't know, honestly, where mm-hmm. we would be.
But I mean, like, the takeaway from this, I think, is that procrastination is your enemy. Mm-hmm. If you, the more you sit and the more you think about things, the more you're going to think about reasons why you shouldn't do things. Mm-hmm. And for us, I mean, it's one of those like kind of catch 22s, because it's like, well, thankfully COVID happened, so we really had no choice. But
yeah,
we really didn't have a choice. So we had to make this work, because honestly, I turned down a couple of jobs going to the States, to like Arizona and stuff, to go fix airplanes. Just because that was like the height of COVID and numbers were going crazy, and I didn't want to risk yeah. it, and having our, you know, your mom living yeah. with us and our kids, and yeah. it just didn't seem right. But at the end of the day, you know, we put our heads down and just have grinded the last 4 months. Yeah. And it's not easy. I mean, we have, you know, orders coming in, and we have products coming in, and it's a constant thing. But
yeah, the ability, we work late, you guys. Like
the ability to work from home and do everything at home together, and you know, a lot of people. I mean, COVID has destroyed so many businesses and so many lives, and yeah. for us, it's been a blessing in disguise, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
That it really forced us to kind of create the life that we always wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, like for example. Like she said, like we both of us work from home.
Yeah.
We homeschool our kids. We have a great gym and a great recreation area that we've built for us and for the kids in the mm-hmm. garage. Like literally, I mean, with Instacart and stuff, we don't need to leave, right? So
yeah.
it's created this insulation blanket around us that's enabled us to mm-hmm. really prosper through this difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an absolute blessing. And, you know, going back and looking at like how it all started, I remember you and me sitting down and we're like, we need to come up with a name that's like iconic, like mm-hmm. some kind of name that people will always remember. And I had this list of like the most phony names ever. It was like Color Splash.
She says come up with something authentic and comes up with nothing.
Yeah, and
phony,
it was like so. And it was like the most corniest names ever. And you and I, we couldn't settle on a name.
Just like baby names.
And we literally turned to our 5-year-old daughter and we're like, man, like we want to do this hijab business, sweetheart. Like, can you come up with a name for us?
Yeah, the question was, what would you name the company? Or what would you name this hijab company?
Yeah. And she didn't even take 2 seconds. She was like, I think I would name it like Lala Hijabs. Yeah. And we literally looked at each other. We're like, oh my God, that is so perfect. And so you took that. Mm-hmm. And
from there, we just decided, okay, look, Lala is not just a Teletubby. So green Teletubby at that one.
Yeah.
And we decided that, okay, so I need to come up with some kind of a meaning that is behind that. So, and then that's where, like, maybe 5-10 minutes later, I came up with live authentic and love always. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the core essence of our business is,
yeah,
look, is be you. That's why we created this. One of the things that the catchphrases was, we wanted to create something as beautiful and as unique as the women who wear them.
Yes.
So that living authentic and being you and having
and
the ability.
And feeling proud. And feeling proud of it.
Having the ability to be you, because mm-hmm. at the same time, like Sana just mentioned, is that not, there's no personality in hijabs.
No.
Honestly.
No.
Right? But our hijabs, not to gloat or anything, but but that's one of the reasons why we did it, is because there's so much personality. When you look at our website and you go through our hijabs, you see nothing but personality.
Yeah.
Every hijab has a story behind it. Every hijab has a, you know, like if you read them about whatever it might be, there's something there that's very unique and authentic.
Yeah.
And the ability for women not necessarily just women, but to be able to be their authentic self and have a representation of their personality mm-hmm. with their outer clothing. Mm-hmm. And then love always, because that's for us
love
as
yourself.
Muslims. We have that responsibility to just preach love and push love to the world and do it as authentically as you can.
Mm-hmm. And you guys would be shocked to hear how many of our customers are actually not Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
We have witches. I'm actually not even kidding you. I didn't even know that was the thing.
Yeah,
I'm so
pagans.
Naive. Yeah, we have witches as customers. We have pagans. We have
Christians,
Jewish, atheists, non-denominational, non-denominational women that don't identify with any kind of religion. Just everybody. And that makes me so happy, because the note section that I told you about, there's some women that have written in there that, you know, hijab makes them feel safe, whether they wear it as a scarf, whether they wear it around their shoulders as a shawl, whether they wear it as a hijab. And to me, that in itself is the essence of what this whole brand is about.
And also Muslims, don't forget.
Oh, yeah. And totally. And there's tons of Muslim
of
customers.
Course.
Yeah. And so every single one of them, you guys all just truly make our day.
Yep.
And it makes us feel so happy knowing that we can have, you know, we can play a part in your story.
For sure. And one of the biggest things for us to kind of just leave it off with is one of the reasons why we've been so successful is our commitment to customer service.
Yeah.
And, you know, so often, like, you're just blown away at how pathetic customer service is for some businesses.
Yeah.
We really wanted to strive, and we have, to be able to give the best possible customer service. So mm-hmm. much so that, I mean, Sana's like, she'll wake up at 2 a.m. for, you know, when Zainab wakes up, and she's answering emails that she got from, you know, somebody in Dubai, or questions they have or whatever. Or
that's
if there's a
me.
Problem with a package or something, like, it's immediate. Like, we deal with it instantly.
Yeah, we try to honestly do as much as we can. And there's been people that have said, like, you know, I've dealt with so many different companies and I rarely ever hear back from them, and you respond to me so quickly. You guys, like, that's not without sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I have my phone in my hand, like, all the time, because of that reason. I'm trying to respond to comments or messages or inquiries or emails or whatever it is, or checking tracking, or you know mm-hmm. what I mean, like, always working. You're listening to this podcast right now and it's like 10 o'clock at night, our kids are asleep right now, and usually we generally work until midnight, like, on the days that we're working really hard. But regardless, we try to do everything that we can to be different. And another huge thing that we really wanted to do when we started Lala Hijabs was to reduce our mm-hmm. impact on the environment. When I started wearing hijab, there was, at that time, there weren't, like, that many companies. There were some hijab companies out there, and one in particular was actually made by a YouTuber, and she had her own hijab line. And I remember purchasing her hijabs, and every single one that came in the mail, because I totally binge shopped. Like, I bought a lot at once, like 10 different hijabs. At that time, I purchased them, and they came in plastic.
Every single one.
Every single one.
Individually.
So by the time I took them all out of the plastic, I had this ginormous pile of just plastic bags. And, you know, at that time I was like, oh, what a waste. Like, this is crazy. And then every time since that time, I always used to buy hijabs from other brands, and it would always be the same thing.
For sure. And when we purchased our first 100 hijabs to do for our business, once we kind of had locked down the sample that we liked and loved, which is what you see today, we didn't even think about it, but when we got the first box, we were like, oh my God, the amount of plastic, mm-hmm. because every single one of those 100 hijabs were individually wrapped in like thick plastic.
Yeah. And our, actually like our manufacturer was like, we've never done that before. We've never ever sent fabric without plastic. Mm-hmm. And we're like, sorry, but this has got to go. Like it can't happen. We do not want plastic whatsoever. So we literally have our fabric sent to us in burlap sacks.
Literally, it's tied with fabric basically a burlap sack.
Not even meat piles. Like we do all the folding, we do all the dyeing, we do everything mm-hmm. ourselves.
Yeah. And I mean, the dye that we use is
non-toxic.
It's as healthy as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
We use tissue paper. We use biodegradable mailer bags.
Compostable. There's a difference.
Compostable. Yeah. Sorry. Not just
we use compostable mailers. We even like the stickers that we have are compostable. Mm-hmm. Like that's like how eco-friendly we want to be. And we really want to reduce the impact. Like even the hijabs, after we dye them and they have to sit and they have to dry, we don't throw them in a dryer, you guys. Mm-hmm. They are hung to dry, so it takes longer to manufacture the hijabs, but we're not using as much energy. And for even sure. the water mm-hmm. like even the water,
yep, no, we reuse as much water as we possibly can, because with tie dyeing obviously it does take water, so it's a process, but yeah. you know what, at the
but
end of the day,
but you've mastered that process.
Well, we're getting there. Yeah. So at the end of the day, that's one of the, I mean, everything about our business is we've tried to kind of step away from everybody else in terms of the business, in the industry, I should say.
And just try to be different.
Whether that is the colorful hijabs, whether that is kind of the one-stop shop for everything to do with hijab. And now, I mean, we have masks that are hijab-friendly masks that mm-hmm. are, you know, made not just as a mask, but made for the fact that you won't get acne from them, or you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They're breathable, hypoallergenic for your skin. There's so many benefits. Mm-hmm. We really, everything that we do, we try to kind of create the best thing possible.
Mm-hmm.
And also the kind of other back side
end.
Of that.
Yeah, the back end of the whole business is also done in a very conscious way.
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you know what? It's easy to just drop ship something from China,
which
has never been our approach. It's never been our approach, and it's not something that we are going to do, because at the end of the day, we have to leave the planet in a better place than kind of when we came into it,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously something that people are very conscious about nowadays,
mm-hmm.
with the whole global warming thing, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, environment going to, you know, not such a great affair, and places like Australia and so many wildfires, and the little bit that we can do as a company to kind of do our part to offset that stuff.
Yeah.
Is very special and near and dear to us.
Yeah. And there's been so many times where other businesses have actually asked us and have said, you know, I've never even thought about becoming eco-friendly. Can you tell us how you did it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, like we just started, y'all. Like we only started a few months ago, but we started knowing that we had to be eco-friendly. Like we made that conscious choice right from the beginning. And we hope that this inspires other people and inspires you to think about the planet and think about the impact on the environment and everything like that.
For sure. So we're half an hour into it, so I think we're going to wrap it up there unless you have anything else. I think that maybe we could leave with a bit of advice. So my advice mm-hmm. in our I guess probably 8 month journey roughly
mm-hmm.
Would be to if business is the way that you want to go, and I would really encourage people, because I mean people's jobs are so up in the air lately with the whole COVID thing. They're laid off, they're working, they're not working, government subsidies, all the craziness that's going on. If you have an idea and you think it's something that you can do, just do it, just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the reason, I think one of the reasons why we've been so successful is because we are so different. We're in an industry that's worth, I think, $7 billion a year.
Modest
fashion industry. But we've basically took a huge step out of line to be able to bring something completely unique to the market.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not without sacrifices and struggles.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be steadfast in what you want.
Yeah.
And if you want it that bad, don't give up. Every time we fail is another chance to learn how to get up and grow as a person and as a business from there.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, telling you guys, my biggest piece of advice would be create incredible content, but also really connect with your followers, you know, on both the Saleh Family TikTok as well as the Lala Hijabs TikTok. If you guys don't follow us there, please go and follow us there as well. But on there, I'm answering questions all the time. I'm responding to comments. I'm commenting on other people's content. I like to genuinely connect with you guys because that truly makes me feel like this is a community. Sure. And I know that you guys feel like that too. You know, if you ever see something, like the other day, someone tagged us in a video and they were like, oh man, this girl's having such a hard time today. Mm-hmm. It was a video. It was really sad. She was depressed and something really bad had happened to her domestically. And they said, you know, they tagged us and they said, at Saleh Family, can you please give this queen some positive vibes? Mm-hmm. And we just commented and we lifted this woman up. But it's like, when you create a space where people can feel safe enough that they feel like they're your family and all of those things, that's truly when the magic happens, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like everybody feels so connected to Lala Hijabs that, you know, because of that reason, I think we've done so well. It's because people feel so connected to it. They saw our story. They saw us struggle. They saw how we started it. They know the whole back end of things. They know how much we struggle. They know how hard we work. They know that we work until midnight all the time. You know, half the time we're on TikTok live at like midnight and people are like, man, you guys are working so late. And it's because of those things that, you know, you are part of our story and we want to be as transparent as possible. And that's why we did this episode today. It's because someone suggested it, but you know, also we just want you to know like who we are behind the scenes of all of our content.
And, yeah, and we want to inspire. We want to inspire people to be able to not have to kind of be stuck in the gloom and doom of COVID, to inspire people to take a chance, to do what you can to get to where you want to be. You know what I mean? Like this, honestly, like we always talked about, like we don't want to be a part as a family. Yeah. We don't want people to have to raise our kids. And obviously not everyone's in that position where they can stay home with their kids, even if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. That was just us.
Yeah. Like I guess that's just who we are as people. And you know what? In a very short amount of time with the right amount of dedication and the right amount of determination, we've been able to basically make our dreams come true.
Yeah.
And then obviously COVID says, no, you can't leave your house. So that makes things a little bit harder.
But, yeah.
But at the end of the day, guys, you know, the people who follow us, the people who inspire us, this is for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the little things we can do in terms of just having a podcast talking about how we kind of came to where we are now, and the hopes that it might help somebody. And a lot of the videos that we make are educational. We have so much in terms of like our podcast and YouTube channel, and it's all about spreading positivity and trying to uplift people and make their day a little bit better than it was before they came across our videos or our podcast. But at the end of the day, guys, we couldn't do any of this without you. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts and from our family with the utmost love and appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you guys are so appreciated. You might not know it. We might not know you by name, but trust us when we say, you know, every single comment is always read. We might not be able to respond to every single comment, but trust us when we say we scroll and we read every single one of them. So just know that you guys are all appreciated. And if you're still listening to this, man, we love you. So we hope you guys have an incredible day. If you ever have questions or if you ever want to reach out, we are transparent. We are an open book. If you ever need any advice or guidance or cheerleading, we're here for you.
And your best bet is to do that on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, DM us. That's usually the best place to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so guys, thank you again so much for joining us on this journey down our business road. take care, and we will hear you, listen to you, talk to you so you can listen to us next week.
Bye, guys.
Take care. Much love. Well, if you've made it this far, you must be really bored. Like, do you seriously have nothing better to do than to listen to us talk?
Haha, just kidding, guys. You know we love and appreciate every single one of you. And if you did enjoy this episode, why not subscribe for more Saleh Family nonsense?
And if you really want to show us some love, drop a comment on whatever platform you use to stream podcasts. Even if it's just one word, it goes a long way.
Thank you so much for being a part of this Saleh Family of ours. Stay tuned for new episodes airing every single Monday. We'll chat again soon.